Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
This is Robbie with Believe in the Run.
This is Megan with Believe in the Run.
And you're listening to The Drop, our weekly podcast that helps you get through the miles.
Mm-hmm. We're both wearing reddish sweatshirts.
I'm wearing a Believe in the Run sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. That's more of a, what was the color? Salmon-y?
I'd say Nantucket red.
Yeah. Is it pastel?
No, it's just, right. It's like a faded red, okay. You know, like if you were out on an island or Cape Cod.
Yeah.
Speaking of Cape Cod, you remember our friends that did a medal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I got a lot of reaction.
It did get a lot of reaction. We got a lot of people sending us their pictures of their medal because they were laughing out loud when they heard it. But you know, it was kind of cool. One, both Robbie and I spoke to them independently, the race people, and both of us said, hey, I think you should lean into ugly medals and just make that your thing.
Yeah.
And maybe they're going to consider doing that. But I will tell you, they passed along a code for 10% off their race. And this not a planned. Was this planned?
No.
No, this is not a sponsor thing. We just thought, since we bashed them so bad, that that we would be nice enough to share a 10% discount code on any race.
Oh, really?
The Cape Cod Marathon, that's like Falmouth Running Club. But it's all capitals, The Drop 2024.
Nice.
Sign up. There's 50 uses. So the first 50 people who snag that up can get a discount, 10% discount.
It's a beautiful race because it's on Cape Cod. How could it not be?
Well, you've run, the only problem is like you've run the Falmouth.
Yeah.
You've run the Falmouth 7-miler.
Yeah.
Not exactly flat.
No, not at all, but kind of cool. I like
it. Yeah, beautiful for sure.
Oh, yeah. One of the most beautiful courses. Wow. Is that even legal what Ralphie's doing to you?
No. Like, okay. What is happening, dude?
Yeah. Dude, he acts like he's getting off the Titanic and needs to get into a life raft.
I know.
Like you're all sinking. I feel like it might be sinking. Podcast is a sinking ship. Let's be real.
Rats are leaving.
Good news is I think I just got our internet working.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
That's got a green light on over there.
Yeah. I mean, it's working on mine.
Okay.
Meg's been, what do you call it?
Product upgrading support. Our system.
I don't know, but I'm not the technical person in this office, and I have no idea why I'm doing it. But
tech support.
Who is a technical
person? I used to be a technical person, and it just has left me. I don't know what it is. It's with specific things. So we have a internet, relay system at the house.
Uh-huh.
And I set it up the first time, and then it just stopped working.
Guess who gets to fix it every time the internet goes out?
Mm-hmm. So now it's Megan.
What's crazy is that I took like 2 years of computer networking courses because I thought that's what I wanted to do, cybersecurity. This is 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I took night classes for 2 years to get a Cisco certification. And then I realized at the end of that 2 years that I hated it more than anything. Mm. And I was just like, I'm not doing this.
So you did the whole 2 years?
Yeah. Like it was really hard night classes.
Wow.
I got it for free because Kimmy worked at the community college. So I was like, I might as well just go back. I did web development stuff. And that actually was useful.
Yeah.
But I hate it. I hate computer networking and whatever Meg's doing.
Yeah. This stuff I just...
But I can do it. If you need me to do it, Meg, just ask.
If you need me to do it, just ask Robbie.
Uh-huh. She's mad because I didn't say that a half an hour ago.
I've learned that I just do things if I want them to get done, and that's how it works.
There you go. And that's the story of Megan Murray's life.
Sounds good. I was telling my son the origin story of Megan and how she hated me when she first met me.
So. Just when she first met you?
Yeah, it circled back.
And we're back.
The horseshoe effect. Yeah. All right, so we're here. What's going on?
I don't know, some people were doing some running. Do we need to do any ads before we roll in?
No, our Element spot will be on here, but I will plug them because they've been saving my life through this cold.
Yeah, sounds like you still have it.
Dude, it's like lingering forever.
Lingerer, man.
Little cranberries action.
Last night is the first night that one of us didn't sleep on the couch because my coughing was so bad all night.
Sometimes I like sleeping on the couch. It's like a change of pace. It's like almost like you're camping.
Yeah, it is kind of like that.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You wake up, you're like, lining. Where am I? Oh.
Go.
Yeah.
I think it does, because when I was in the band, I slept on so many couches and floors. I think it kind of, it's nostalgia. A little bit of a nostalgic factor for me. I like it. I don't know.
For me, it was Megan just kept coughing and waking me up, and I had a 20-mile run the next day. So I was like,
oh, yeah, that's,
I think I'll just go to the couch.
That's never good.
At 3 a.m. in the morning.
Well, so I made the mistake of taking NyQuil at 3 in the morning.
Nice.
Which is too,
that's a Robbie move too, if I ever heard
too
one.
Too late or too early, however you want to phrase yeah. it. Like, that is absolutely not the right time to take that.
I think I did that before the Tokyo Marathon.
Yeah, you did.
Melatonin.
I did take melatonin at like 3 a.m. Horrible yeah. idea.
I was like walking the dog, and I also had a long run, and I was like, why am I so tired? And then I realized.
You were robo-tripping yeah. through your long run.
I mean, honestly, I've been on cold meds and Advil for like 8 days in a row, like just every 4 hours. That's what's happening.
Well, you did 21 miles yesterday?
She was supposed to do 22.
But I was just done.
Loser. But anyway, it was kind of cool because this weekend it worked out perfect. Coach Caster had my long run on Sunday, and because the weather on Saturday was just crappy.
Yeah, good thing we didn't have to run in that.
Yeah, who wants to run in that?
Yeah, that was, speaking of sleep, the night before the 50K, I was like, I'm going to get a good night's sleep, do all that. And for some reason, the trains were going nonstop that night. And as I'm trying to fall asleep, you know when trains are stopped and then start and then all the cars like bang together and it's so loud? Mm-hmm. That kept happening. And then I kept waking up throughout the night, but I did get decent sleep.
Wait, you don't do a sound machine or anything?
I do, but it's like, I do a fan, but it just cuts through. Like, you know when you're a little bit, you're trying to fall asleep and you're a little bit like on edge?
I do, but.
So every little noise.
Mm-hmm. We got to get you like what we use. What is that thing called?
No, we the have dome. Like, we have too much. There's, you would
dome?
Die.
Dome.
Biodome.
Go look up at Amazon domes.
It's just a noise machine.
How I found out about these is, somebody gave me one when Theo was born.
Oh, my kids have one of those.
Yeah, like yeah. the little, and it looks like a little Star Wars droid yeah. on the floor. That thing can kill anything.
But yeah, I mean, I use my phone sometimes, like the white noise app, which usually works.
Yeah, but this is, you throw this thing on, it's all, we have at times, Megan, we have traveled with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, whatever. Anyways, so. Yeah, 50K Saturday morning. Of course, it didn't rain all last week or this week. And it was for that 6 hour block.
It literally was that 6 hours.
Only that 6 hours. It was rain, I don't know, 2 inches or something ridiculous.
I had 8 miles that day. You know where I did them?
I know. Yeah, because I saw your Strava. And there was no map. There was no map.
I ran outside.
Did you?
Yeah.
Let me see. What was the date?
And I know that I made the right choice.
Yeah, I came back. I was so sad, yeah, like a drowned like a wet rat.
It was, and you know, the worst thing is too with a race is that you have to be outside. Mm-hmm. They have a pavilion there, but you're still walking to there.
And you're splashing up.
You're wet as soon as you get out of your car. Mm-hmm. And I did have the Gore-Tex rain jacket on. And the good news is that it wasn't 40 degrees. It was low 50s, so at least maybe that's a good thing.
It still seemed cold.
Yeah, it felt cold. And like once you get wet.
I was like thinking the hands get wet.
It's that cold that gets into the bones, mm-hmm. you know, where you just can't shake it off. And yeah, so the went up to the Hat 50K and saw some, you know, the faster bastards doing it and some other people we knew. And for anyone who doesn't know, this the way it starts, it's like in an open field where you line up like you're in Braveheart.
Yeah, that's a good description of it. I was like Gettysburg, yeah, Braveheart.
Pickett's Charge. Yeah. And there's a dude who plays the bagpipes, kind of, which is a pretty awesome way to start the race. And then you just kind of take off. So, yeah, within a minute, your feet are soaked. And then there's like a 3 mile loop. And then 2 14-mile loops.
Are you going to tell people what shoe you chose to wear to get your feet wet?
Yeah. So I started out. Okay. So I started out with a Topo Athletic Mountain Racer 3 just because I've run a 50 miler in the Mountain Racer 1. And I just like the way it fits and feels. It's lightweight, has good traction, Vibram lugs, fits well, kind of like those things that you want. I hadn't worn this pair before, which is probably a mistake. But I was like, whatever, I'll pack another pair of shoes. And I packed the Brooks Catamount 3. But then Mac, who runs with us, he had my pair of Nike Ultra Flies that I left the Baltimore Half Marathon. So he brought them with. So that was another pair just in case. So I ran with the Topo Athletic first. And
explain the course, because it starts off in loops, but there's different distances of the loops.
Yeah. No, I said that. There's like a mini 3 mile
loop. Oh, you did? Okay,
and then it's a 2:14. And the crazy thing, the worst part is packing for a race like that, because you're going to want to change at the halfway point, at least your shirt and maybe shoes or socks. And then for after the race, you want to have a full change of clothes and multiple layers. And
I brought an entire duffel bag to hat before.
I brought the North Face, like base camp duffel, and just filled it up with stuff. Plus, you know, ibuprofen, deodorant, gels, hydration, like all the everything. It's so much to pack. Like, I feel like I'm packing for a week long trip. And anyway, so we start out the race with running with Ryan Detter, one of our friends, and felt pretty good, pretty slow pace to begin with. We were kind of behind some people that were slow. And yeah, got into the woods. And as soon as we got in the woods, it's been raining for several hours at this point. The trails are just rivers, like cascading down. And I'm obviously trying to be a little cautious with the ankles. So trying not to bomb any downhills or anything, which the traction was really good on the shoes, but I can't see, like, under all the water. So I'm trying to step to the sides, but, you know, that's really pointless because it's all mud. And finished. So let's see, the first loop, the creek crossings were interesting. It was up to mid thighs at that, just on the first loop. And it's still pouring rain the whole time. And so I'm just doing the best that I can, just kind of taking it easy. I did feel pretty good and wanted to, you know, push the pace a little bit. So I separated from Ryan around mile 8. I just went off on my own. And again, what I love about this course is that at mile 9 or 10, there's a road section that's downhill for 2 miles, which, and how many times have you run this, Thomas?
I think it's 7 or 8 times.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. But that road, depending on conditions, can either be loose gravel or packed hard like cement.
Yeah. It was fine to me. It was, the problem was that the Topo shoe that I was wearing, the rock plate in it really was kind of harsh. Mm. There's not a lot of cushion on that shoe. So especially in the road sections.
And you're going at a downhill pitch on that road.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole way. Which is nice because you can get some extra minutes and stuff, but it started to kind of like hurt the ball of my foot on both feet. And so
you did one of the big loops then, because you don't do that road in the first three.
Right. So this is on the big loops. This is like mile 10.
Okay.
And again, it's pouring rain and the creeks are rushing. I got to, so there's an aid station at mile 12. That's pretty solid. I mean, they're all, the aid stations
are legit. Which ones, what mile are you at where it's got the long one by the parking lot?
Yeah, that's the one. Mile 12.
That's the one.
26 or whatever. Yeah.
That was the one where they're like, hey, if you want to get under this time, you better hustle up.
Yeah, it's technically the last one. Yeah. And so, but I had drank Element the night before. So I took a full thing at Element the night before. That morning had eaten like peanut butter toast with honey and bananas and stuff. And then I think I had Scratch in my one water bottle. And I was fueling like with, so I did Goo and Goo Roctanes like on and off. So I was doing that every 45 minutes because I was eating at every aid station too. So I'd eat French fries, Sour Patch Kids, whatever, Coke.
Did you have any pierogies?
Pierogies, yeah, for sure. At the aid station. So I figured a Goo every 45 minutes would be pretty like a good compliment.
Yeah, if you can get that down.
Yeah. And so, but then, you know, I always get horrible headaches and everything else because of, I guess, sodium, lack of sodium. So at the mile 12 aid station, I I was like, I need salt. And the only thing they had was a bowl of table salt to like roll your French fries in.
Yeah.
And so I just took the bowl and just poured it into a like a cup. And it was like that much salt. It was at least a tablespoon.
That's bad.
And then I just mixed it with water and like stirred it up and just took it to the face. Dude, it was so, you think Element's bad? That was like 10 Elements in one. And
literally
might have been a, like, I guess in hindsight, I was probably playing with fire because
yeah,
that's a lot of salt.
Like that could have hit your bowels funny.
Yeah. And, I mean, I looked it up. It was definitely a tablespoon. And I looked it up online like yesterday. And I think that's about 7,500 milligrams of salt,
which would be 7 Elements or 6 Elements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least
that's
5.
Too many.
Well, anyway, so after that, full disclosure, I was a little bit nauseous. I've had worse for sure in a race.
That's like when you're in the ocean though, and you like get accidentally get hit by a wave.
It tastes like that. Except it wasn't accidental. But yeah, so I was riding that wave for a couple miles, and I was getting a little nauseous, a little down, but not terrible, right? And then. But the course, again, it was just super sloppy and muddy.
I was going to say, like, when you leave that one aid station, you go back. It's like you come all the way downhill. You come down the road. Mm-hmm. You hit that aid station. And then you're going back up for a climb.
Right.
And I've always remembered, even on dry days, it was kind of muddy and crappy right after you leave that aid station.
Yeah.
Like there's like an area.
Yeah.
Like almost like a marsh.
Yeah.
What was that like in the rain?
Yeah. I mean, it was up to above your ankles.
And it just of mud?
Yeah. Ugh. And then there's remember that part? It's the orchard?
Yeah.
That's the worst part of the course.
Yeah.
Because it was it's this slick mud that you can't.
And it's an angle.
And it's uphill. And so you're like, your legs are sliding out from under you every step you take.
So I'm actually surprised, like your hip flexors.
Yeah, that was not great.
Are you sore?
Like in
weird places?
Yeah, pretty much.
What's a weird place, Meg?
I don't know, like where you like aren't normally sore from running.
All the places,
it's like
using different muscles.
Yeah, I think the hip flexors weren't doing too great. But anyway, so then I do love that race because when you get to the quote unquote halfway point, you're at mile 17. And shout out to Sam Canner from Believe Run Club. He was there in the pavilion, and dude. Where that pavilion is on the top of the hill, the wind was just pummeling it like through there. And he was hanging out there helping anyone who came through, like the faster bastards or bleed people. And it was awesome because I had to try and change real quick. And for some reason I changed my socks, which is pointless.
I think a fresh pair of socks at that race. There's something psychologically
that
good
is
about
true.
It.
But I changed, like my rain jacket, I put on the John G rain jacket and then the Satisfy Merino, which was the perfect pairing. And then he like brought over like Gatorade and pierogies and stuff for me, which was really nice of him. And then I changed it to Nike Ultrafly because my feet were kind of hurting at that point. So I know the traction isn't as good on the Ultrafly in those conditions, but also
nothing
is. And the comfort like would help a lot. For that nice bed of Zoomex.
All right, first check in. As you can tell from Robbie, like nothing was going to stop that train. He was out there in the rain, in the mud, and you probably would get at the start, you'd be like, man, I don't really feel like doing this. I don't want to do it. I'm going to get my feet wet. My hands are going to be cold. I mean, it was really gnarly conditions. Like I remember waking up, having my coffee and thinking, man, Robbie's out there in the rain right now. And he did it, and not only did he do it, but he had a good time doing it. And the day was a great day, and probably it's going to be a core memory for him as far as running goes. So maybe those days when we least want to go out there are the days when we should get excited about getting out there. I don't know, just something to think about.
And honestly, I was feeling pretty good. Like, I feel like last time I ran that, I was a little... like coming into 18, 17, it was a little down, but
that was also a rough day, but
That was hot out the last
time. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, okay, it was like 75 degrees.
This race, just in case you don't know, it's had everything from 70 degree days to 10 degree days to snow. This one, torrential downpours. Like, Maryland spring is basically Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You really don't know what you're going to get. And then so I came out of the aid station and I couldn't feel my feet or my hands. And I was freezing because stopping to change for 5 minutes, take my shirt off and everything I was shivering. And so, thank God it stopped raining shortly thereafter. So
you're able to warm up.
Then I was able to warm up. My blood came back in my feet and my hands. And then it felt awesome. Just as far as, you know, it still sucked because it was muddy, but at least there wasn't rivers coming down the trail. So then right after the 18 mark, when you're coming down that big hill and down to the creek again, they shut off the creek crossings because apparently somebody told me that there was a woman there running it who was like 4'2" or something, or like she's pretty short. I think I know who it was. I saw her 4'6", and the water was either like up to her neck or above her head she went into the creek, and it was raging. And so
how did you get around?
So they rerouted you like 2/3 of a mile or so. Like 3/4 of a mile around up to the road. So you had to
go across a bridge,
get on a road, and then come back on the other side.
Now, there's at least two like bigger water crossings. Mm-hmm. I know there's some smaller ones that probably
that was fine.
That were a little deeper, but they're probably still like shin deep.
Yeah, that was fine.
But yeah, there's two of them that I would say, like, even if it's regular, regular weather, mm-hmm. it's going to be up to your thighs. Those are the ones that were...
Yeah, they shut those down. Yeah. So they rerouted both of those. The one I don't think had any extra mileage really, but I knew it was going to be more, which is kind of annoying. And
so you ran over 50K? Like it was
Yeah, I was like closer to 32, 32 miles. Yeah.
You know, Meg's run this race too.
Yeah. I always forget that you've also run it the same amount. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know the same amount,
but a bunch of times.
She's run it better.
Yeah, so then I, knowing that it was going to add some extra miles, it was a little annoying, but I was like, as long as you get to that field, you know the field's coming up with the extra three.
I kind of hate the field.
I hate the field too. Yeah.
It felt like it lasts forever.
I love it because you can see.
You can see it, but it's like
And
so
the wind.
Far.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. It came out of the one... Not the field at the finish, but the other field. It came out of the woods and it was like a direct headwind.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what the hell?
That's the one. I was like, that's the one. There's two that I would say when you came out, the first one you come out in the field and you have to run around the edge mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That one, it's at a slope. So I'm guessing that with mud, you're like fighting to just stay upright.
Yeah, that was annoying.
And then you come, when you're close to getting towards the finish line again, you pop out. Into not the main field when you're really close to the thing, but the one that's up top. And that one is also at an angle that is just like hard to.
It's that tiny single track.
Yeah.
And it's hard to keep your feet in it. Yeah. It was a lot of trying to figure out where to run. But I felt good. Like the.
Are you solo at this point? Like, are you talking?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I saw some people. I forget this one girl's name, Envy, who had come to Sufferfest last year at Oregon Ridge. And she's been to some Believe, I think, of great events. So I talked with her for a little. She was running in the A6 Trabuco Max, as was Ryan. And so I talked with her. And then just randomly, you know, would talk to some people. But mostly it was by myself. It was pretty spread out then by the end. And, but then coming through. So when I hit that road section the second time, I think I took a goo right before it, and just the ultra fly with the road section, dude, it felt so good.
Just let the gravity
open
go.
It up and kind of pick up the pace. I think I ran a couple miles at around like an 8:40 pace for like, that's mile 26. So I was feeling pretty good. And then And then just from there, you only have 5 miles left at the aid station, or approximately.
When you say only 5 miles left, it's not road 5 miles.
No. It's a lot of vert and uphill and terrible conditions. But knowing that you're in the sort of home stretch,
yeah,
I felt like running down that road in the ultra flies, like I finally got a groove back. So where I was just like, loosen I feel up. Good. And then Ryan's wife, Amanda, was at that aid station. And I was like, can you take my vest and my jacket? Because I had 5 miles left. I was like, I can do this. So that felt so nice to just be like free of all the like outer layers and just be able to run with nothing. And so, which was maybe a mistake, because it's still about an hour and 15 minutes. And I was like, I probably should have brought water, a little bit of water with, or like a snack.
Especially after all that salt.
Yeah. And so then I was running on the trail and someone had dropped some trash. So I was like, I'll pick it up. I'll be the good guy. And it was like some sort of gummy pack.
Oh gosh.
Like an orange gummy.
You didn't eat it.
And I was like, oh, Robbie.
I opened it up and I was like, oh, it's still good. It's not covered in mud. Like it was clean, protected from the elements. And
you ate it.
I ate it.
Okay.
But I was like, I mean, it was a runner that dropped it.
Yeah, yeah.
it was perfectly fine. Uh-huh. And then like,
I cannot imagine, like if you were my toddler. I mean, put that down. Put it down.
I was like,
get that out of your mouth.
This could be the thing that saves me. I might need this.
Because did it? Was it?
I think it did, honestly. Okay. I think it helped. Because the last mile was a little bit rough. I was like, if I didn't have that. And then like a mile shortly thereafter, Matt Kacharski was on in the middle of the trail with Peter. And they were just hanging out. Like it's like in the middle of the woods. Encouraging us on, and he had some beer, like a Founders All Day IPA. So I just drank some of that because I was like, that's probably good for water hydration or something.
Yeah, at that point, what do you had a mile?
3 miles left.
Oh, three, okay.
Yeah.
And then from there on, I was just like, let's do this thing. Felt pretty good. And that's what I was like pretty stoked about, because I wasn't even close to my time, of course, like probably.
But this was a PR for you, wasn't it?
No, it was like an hour slower than my PR.
Oh, I thought it.
That's like, the weird thing on Strava. It said it was a PR, but I think it was because the last one it was 30.99, the last hat I did. Like I think it Strava taxed me, so it didn't count as a 50K. And so yeah, this was like an hour slower than my PR.
Okay.
But I felt like I couldn't do anything. Like, I just didn't think I could run any faster because I didn't want to jeopardize.
Well, when it's wet like that,
yeah,
you can't bomb the downhills because you can't get good footing.
I can't. Some people can.
Well, I couldn't believe the top guys is like a 4:22, 4:27.
Yeah.
And they're normally like around a 4 hour, closer to that. So even they were like 15 minutes off.
So Chris Heydrich, who runs with Bleed Run Club, he
won.
And Faster Bastards, he won with a 4:22. He also wore the Nike Ultrafly, which I just can't conceive in my mind because it was basically 2.5 hours faster than I ran it. And I'm like, that is just crazy to me.
Dude, one time we ran it, Caleb Maslin ran it in like 3 hours and something.
Yeah.
And yeah,
like a 7-minute mile.
Yeah.
Unfathomable.
On hat.
Right.
You know the ups and downs there.
Yeah, I mean, the elevation on my Strava was close to 5,000 feet of elevation gain. I also saw other people's that said 6,000, so
Meg, what was your, when you came in second place, what was your time?
I don't think I ever came in second place. I think one time I came in third, but it was around 5 hours.
Oh, I thought you were in second place, you tied for second place with
Katie Rybar. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I took away from it, even though it wasn't my time, of course, is that I felt awesome the whole time. Like I never had a down.
That's moment. So good.
I was a little bit like after I took the salt and Coke and everything, like, you know, just a little bit nauseous. Not like I've been much more nauseous before in a race, But from mile 18 on, I felt amazing. So that's good.
Yeah.
Coming up for Boston. So I felt like I fueled well and did everything right in that regard. I mean, 7 hours is a long time or just under to be doing anything. So if I can feel good at the end of a 7 hour thing.
What was the cutoff? Like, what's the cutoff time?
I don't know, because there was people coming in an hour after me for sure.
See, I used to think that 7 hours was the cutoff time. Am I out of my head?
They might.
I think it's like 8 or 9.
Maybe it's 8, because I just remember one friend one time almost being cut off. Maybe he was coming in at like 7:50 or something.
And they might have also added time for the conditions and because they made the course longer. Like I said, feeling good the whole time and not doing that thing where you're checking your watch every 10th of a mile, because that's the worst. When you're like looking at your watch and being like, how did I only go a 10th of a mile?
Well, see, that's the thing. I
hate that.
What I like about trail running is I'm so busy looking at my feet and so busy like trying to navigate the terrain that a lot of times the miles will just kind of cruise by. But also like on Hat, you've done the loop. So it's not like you're like, how much further do I have to go? You know, pretty much like, okay, I have, you know, maybe it's because this is your second time running it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
third time.
This is your third time running it? So you, I remember one time with Kucharski, and Kucharski had a bad day.
Yeah. And I ran it like 6 years ago, seven years ago. Yeah.
I wonder, were we running at the same time?
Yeah. Huh. I ran with you, dude. Like, not for the whole time, but for the first half or first 8 or 9 miles.
Was that like one of the Faster Bastards ones where?
Yeah, it was a lot of Faster Bastards. And you, I think you were a little annoyed because I kept trying to, you were like, dude, if you need to go past me, because I was kind of chomping at the bit to go. And then eventually
I think that was a good year for me, that one. I think I was like 5 hours and something. That was a good
Yeah. One. Yeah, but no, we definitely ran that year together for a little bit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I also left a glove in the woods.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't have any of that. No GI issues yesterday or on Saturday.
That's a champion. Did I tell you the first time I ran Hat, I ate an entire tray of Stouffer's lasagna the night before?
Okay. That's
I was like, I need to carb up.
I mean, that makes sense.
I feel like you've definitely told this story.
And I ran the entire Hat. I didn't go to the bathroom, ran the entire Hat with an entire tray of Stouffer's inside of me.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't stay frozen at all.
Yeah.
I ate a chicken parmesan sub the night before.
What did you have anything fantastic as a reward afterwards?
I didn't know, because you know, after the race you're kind of not feeling like you want to eat a lot. Mm-hmm. So I had some of the stuff at they have pierogies that, like you mentioned, always amazing.
What about on Sunday though?
No, so well, first right after the race I got in, and like I said, the wind was just coming through that pavilion, like, and if you went right over the hill where the finish line is, it didn't touch you, but just in the pavilion. So I'm trying to change as quick as I can. And by the way, shout out to, trying to think of the gear that I wore. That so the socks I wore, Swiftwick merino socks, and that was alpaca socks. Those are nice. They keep your feet pretty nice.
Those are what I wore yesterday for the long run.
Yeah, I think it's called, the company's Paka, right? PAKA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very nice. And I just put Vaseline all over my feet before the race. No blisters, so that was good. And then the Mylar running shorts, my favorite.
The tights?
The half tights.
Yeah.
I love those things. And then...
That's what I wore at the Annapolis half.
Okay. I love those. Yeah. They're like my favorite shorts.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah. But then, so I changed...
Those are the, in case people are following, those are the work, part of the work collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll drop links. But then, so after the race, I changed, and I was so, because that wind, I was just shivering like crazy. And once I got down to the, we watched Ryan, we waited for Ryan to come in. He was about, I think, like a half an hour behind me. And then we went to a brewery afterwards and had a beer. Bought the worst beef jerky my entire life.
See, we used to throw, one reason I kept doing the Hat, because I was always like, I never want to do this race again, But we used to throw a party after Hat.
Oh, at your house?
Yeah. And we
where was it this year?
Well, we did. We didn't run Hat. But
still could have had the party.
Yeah, we could. We actually, at one point I was living in an apartment building and we had like, we got the whole thing practically catered and did like the commons area.
That's awesome.
But the parties got pretty rambunctious. Like I would go out and get like cases of vodka and beer and stuff like that. And we'd come back to the house and it would be gone by the end of the night. So imagine running Hat and then coming back to our house and just
bunch of runners.
Yeah. A bunch of runners just sitting there telling their day's story, drinking. And
somehow we'd always end up dancing. And I don't understand how we had energy for that, but there was always dancing.
Yeah. There was dancing. There was some weird stuff that happened at some of these parties.
A little NSFW stuff.
Yeah. Some weird stuff going down. So we used to have a killer party. So every year I'd be like, I'm not going to run it again. And people would be like, hey, can we stay at your house? And I'd be like, shit. All right, I'll sign up. Because you can't party if you didn't run.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
And you had to dust off the Crisco Twister set.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have a good time.
The slip and slide.
We went to brewery, had a beer, and I came home, and Kimmy had made pad thai for dinner. And I was like, well, that works. Like, that's fine for me.
I do like that. What did we used to eat at the party? Because we would have, I mean, we had to eat because we were drinking that much.
I don't recall.
Stouffer's lasagna?
Probably. Trays of
it. I think we just ordered pizzas or something.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
You can't go wrong with pizza.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I forgot on the last mile when I was, maybe less than a mile, I was about to come out of the woods and it's hard to pick up your feet at that point. So I had kicked a root and almost bit face planted and caught myself, but I got a Charlie horse in my calf. Oh. I was like, dude, did I just tear my calf muscle? It hurts so bad. And that was a good thing too. I didn't have any cramping the whole time.
What happened to the Charlie horse? It just went away.
It went probably away. The salt.
Yeah. It pretty much went away. And then I ran across the field and then, of course, as I'm crossing the road and coming back into the final stretch of 100 yards,
which is uphill.
I landed and tweaked my ankle, almost rolled in. I was like, dude, I need to be done with this race because it's about to happen.
Wait, I thought you were going to say you fell because that would have been the best because there's people watching at that point.
Well, that's the thing. Like, were there people watching because
it had
with that rain?
It had stopped raining at that point. So there were, some of the, not that many people, but some of the faster bastards were watching. And so that was nice to have them at the end, especially people who, like our friend Dave Carpenter, first 50K, ran a 5:20.
In those conditions.
I don't even know. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, he's been working hard. I've seen him out there running in the morning sometimes. And I'm like, wow, he's cruising. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
Because I wouldn't, in the past, I wouldn't have said, oh, he's one of the faster bastards.
Right.
He was like middle pack. Now
he's betraying. I felt like he was one of us. Now he's trying to level up. What's up, dude?
It's that's him and Paul Gochar. They're both trying to, they're like trying to get the social security card fast pass.
Yeah. No, he did great. But I would say overall, it was probably one of my favorite races.
That's awesome.
Just because you felt in the right headspace the whole time.
Yeah. And I think that's, if you can just throw out the time goals and not worry about whether, I think people put too much weight on that. I get it. You train for a long time.
It's letting go of that stuff though, that does seem to lead to at least the races. I try to look back because, we're in the middle of training now. And I look back at the races where I had a really good time, and most of the races I really enjoyed were the ones where it wasn't kind of binary on the time, the finish time.
Right.
Like I was running with a friend or doing something like that. So they definitely, you love New York, Meg, and that was you and Meg running together and throwing a party for 26.2 miles.
Yeah, that might be my favorite.
And it's not a sub 3-hour marathon, but
no, like it's not even close.
like of your memories of marathons, where does that one land?
It's top two for sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love that. And I feel like, if you can get, because I think a lot of runners, even myself, when you first start out, especially when you're doing better each race that you do, time is such a major thing. But once you can just enjoy running, not for the time that you're getting, I feel like it's so much better, because then it's not everything in your life is tied up on whatever time you get. And I think like if you can just base it off how you felt, how you did in that moment, I feel like it's much more rewarding, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I do like having time goals in some instances, simply because I think it's like you have something to work towards.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's, yeah, sorry. I don't mean to say you shouldn't have those time goals, but just to put all of your worth into that, whether you get that time.
100%. But then also to be able to have that flexibility if it is a crazy weather day, like to not be so like I stuck to that time where you can't let that go. Like that's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are exceptions. Like, I don't know that I'll run another marathon if it's over 70 degrees at the start.
You won't even start it?
I don't think I will. Like, I've never had a good experience that way. It's never been.
What if you just jog it, though?
I don't know how people. What was that one Chicago that was 90 degrees?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People PR'd that day.
How would you actually run that? I don't even understand.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, that's the thing. We have 5 miles. Because we know that our group, the vast, but you, there's people that excel in super cold temps. Mm-hmm. There's people who excel in super hot. And, you know, you can do it. But me, I know once it gets above like 60, like
performance starts shooting down. I absolutely agree with that. But I don't think I wouldn't start. Like, if I'm there and I have a bib and it's like you train, I think I would just go jog it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, you could just not run it and then reload for another marathon.
I guess if there was a plan B, sure.
Yeah.
All right, second check-in. We're going to stick with the Robbie theme this week. Okay, so Robbie's running. He's prepared, though. He's got backup shoes. He's got backup socks. He's got gear. He's got it all going. This is called planning. And for your big runs, you need to do that. So make sure that you're getting the right amount of nutrition packed with you, that you've got everything that you need for that run. Know if it's going to be sunny and you need sunglasses. Know if you need a hat. Know if you need a rain jacket. It sounds kind of simple, but a lot of times we leave the house with one thing missing and it can really throw our run sideways. So make sure you're prepared when you get out there. All right, let's take a little hydration break, Meg.
Today's sponsor is, again, Element.
I'm drinking it right now.
We love drinking it all the time. Thomas is drinking it right now. And some of the benefits of the electrolyte beverage are that it maintains steady energy. It improves your cognitive function. You suffer from fewer headaches, which Robbie can attest to.
100%. It's a game changer in that department after a long run.
You experience fewer muscle cramps, which I can attest to for sure. And it helps your performance in general.
Yeah. And I've got a couple special recipes for you. Definitely try mixing it with club soda or sparkling. What do you call it? Seltzer water?
Sparkling water.
Yeah. Try it with that over ice. Pretty good.
It's a nice treat.
If you want a little hydration treat and a little kick, you can even mix this with a little bit of vodka or tequila. Make your own ranch water. It's pretty good, but I use it for pretty much everything.
All right, and if you want to get some Element yourself, you can actually get a free sample pack with any order if you use our link, which is drinklmnt.com/thedrop.
Now back to the show.
So you know how Hat has really good swag?
Yeah.
What was it?
So it was an umbrella.
I know, I saw it.
Like a golf umbrella.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, this is perfect because it can also be used as a cane because.
Wait, so no blanket?
No blanket this year. That's NCR. Blanket's NCR.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they did do one hat blanket.
Yeah.
And that's where NCR got the idea
I was
from.
Gonna say, I feel like I have a hat blanket.
Yeah.
It's gray.
The problem with the blankets are like the pallets of those blankets are extremely heavy.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
So we've got six. We don't need any more.
Yeah. So the umbrella was nice. By the way, one of my favorite.
Did you get a mug too?
No, because I didn't. That's for people who placed. Like age group placements.
Okay.
Thanks for rubbing it in.
Sorry, bud.
Just kidding.
We'll make you fourth.
We'll give you a mug.
I was going to say that would have been hurtful.
That's the funny thing is that Dave Carpenter, who very respectable time at 5:20, is only an hour, not even an hour slower than number one overall. He was like 13th in his age group.
What?
Because ultra runners are just middle-aged men. That's all it is. It's people ages 40 to 50.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was so far back. It was ridiculous. But let me ask you if you've done this before. So one of my favorite things that hacks in a trail race, I don't even know if it's a hack, is I never use walking or what do you call it, poles?
Trekking poles.
But there are some people who use them, which honestly probably a good idea.
So I used trekking poles at Hat 1 year and had a phenomenal experience. Mm-hmm. And then they said the next year you can't use them.
Right. So I think that's still in the rules, but maybe since this.
Dude, with that weather and the mud,
yeah,
those would have been lifesavers.
So I've always done this.
You
I've
pick
never,
up sticks?
Yeah, I've never seen anyone else do it, but I don't know why.
I've seen old men.
I just find a stick that's right on the trail and use it, and it's super helpful.
Yeah.
Like in the really terrible uphills and even downhills.
It saves your back.
Yeah. And I'm just not sure why nobody else does it because you just grab a stick and then toss it off as soon as you're done with that section.
You toss it off.
Yeah.
We use that.
I think it's a good idea. That's like, I think it's not as good as the running in the light post shadow hack, but I'll make a list of my favorite hacks.
I mean, you were able to find a chew on the ground, which was nice, but there's no change out there in the woods.
Nothing, yeah.
Like I don't see the motivation for you going out there.
Did not find anything.
No, trekking poles though, like we did Trans Rockies and there's
we use them.
Yeah, and going over Bright Angel or what was
they're
it?
They're money.
Not Bright Angel. I'm thinking Grand Canyon. Hope Pass.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have poles, you're bent over trying to get up. So
right.
If you have poles, it like saves your back.
Yeah.
And then on the way down, you're bombing.
It's like skiing.
Yeah. So you have a way to like kind of pivot. And if you do twist your ankle or something, the pole will help you not like really do it bad and save you from falling on your face.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start running in the streets with poles.
Tracking poles in the city.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. My back. I was stopping to crack my back like every half mile towards the end. But yeah, that's a, oh, is that you, Meg?
Yeah.
You're hungry.
I was
those mics might have picked up.
I was all excited this week because Meg got sick. So I thought maybe this week I'll beat her mileage wise.
Oh, so yeah, did you?
It's because I did 65 miles this week. I'm like, Meg, did I actually get more miles than you? Because you skipped out of two workouts basically. And
did he? No.
You can't shake your head on a podcast.
I ran 68.
That's crazy.
I almost felt like getting out of the car and running. If it had been a little closer to like that, my number, just getting out of the car and running. But yeah, ridiculous. Man,
that's a lot of miles for being. I saw the state that you were in last week.
Well, it's funny because to me it feels like nothing because I knew what I was supposed to be doing. I was supposed to 90. Have 92 and I was supposed to do two workouts. I did no workouts.
Okay.
And all my miles were very slow, but I managed to get some decent mileage in, which was helping my sanity for Boston. But yeah, he has me back on like a normal routine kind of. I had a rest day today, which was nice.
Okay.
So right now I'm winning.
Yeah. For the week you have.
And so you didn't run in the rain, but you and Jarrett did a long run.
Yeah, we did.
20?
I kind of switched it up. I did some Robbie Root in it. We basically ran out towards Dundalk and did the, there's like a big hill that you go up and down, basically. What was nice about it is because we've done an 18, a 20 miler of doing that one route that we were doing that just shoots you straight up into towards the county.
Uh-huh.
By doing the Dundalk loop, we were already at like where I fell last week with you at like 3.7, that was like, we were already at like 10 or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, nice.
So yeah, we just ran up and then came back down. We ran into Jeremy Ardenoy. Dude's throwing down 6-10 minute miles for like no, what are you training for? No, just none.
Right, yeah. Of course.
20 miles, but we were able to get, I think we got around 1,000 feet of elevation.
Just a little over 900. That's pretty good.
900, which was, the goal was to do a hilly run.
Yeah.
And I ended up running in the Diadora Frequenza.
Okay.
And it's kind of an interesting shoe. I mean, can we get into it now?
Yeah.
So it's Diadora. We really liked the style of their shoes, but in the past, the foams just weren't kind of like up to snuff.
Right.
And they've finally kind of switched up some of their foams. And this one has a supercritical midsole.
Yeah.
And it feels pretty light.
For sure. Looks like it has a decent amount of rubber on it too.
Yeah. So I ran in it the day before on the treadmill and did 8 miles. And I was like, maybe this shoe is too soft.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll see on the road. Mm-hmm. So I took it out for the 20, and it's actually not as soft on the road, so it felt pretty good. I'd compare it to like a 1080 or a Nimbus.
So it's like an easy daily trainer?
Wait, interesting, because I feel like this is supposed to be their tempo shoe.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
I do think it's supposed to be a tempo shoe. I think the weight is probably almost there. I didn't weigh mine yet, but...
Okay.
I think it does feel a little bit lighter, but no, I'd put it square in that like daily trainer.
Okay.
Highly cushioned.
Interesting. I mean, it's still not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says quick workouts and tempo runs.
Well, I guess I went too far with it. Yeah, it wasn't a quick workout or a tempo run.
I will prove them wrong.
Yeah. For fast workouts and races over short distances, 5K or 10K.
Okay. I wore the wrong shoe for a 20 mile run.
I like that. You went into it blind and you thought this is what.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I did not read what the shoe was for before.
I mean, just looking at it, I see no reason why it couldn't be used for longer distances.
Yeah. Does it say what the stack in the low cushioning? Can you tell me what that is ridiculous?
There has to be at least 35. Yeah.
Maybe more. I think there's more.
Yeah, like under cushioning, there's low, regular, high, and extreme, and it's in low. But I don't see...
this is not low.
It just
says 8 millimeter drop.
It has to be at least 34. Well, I mean, if you put your... It does come up on the sides a little bit.
I mean, I felt it was well cushioned.
All right. Yeah.
And there's a carbon plate.
Is it really?
That's what it says.
Get out of here. There's no carbon plate in this.
Lightweight and ultra-responsive Frequenza, weighing in just 230 grams, delivers propulsive, akin to shoes fitted with a carbon plate. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. It felt like they used more racy foam, but without a plate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, to me it felt really cushioned.
Okay.
It looks cushioned.
Yeah, Boy, that just blew my mind that it's supposed to be a 5K, 10K ratio, because it felt pretty cushioned. I may have to reevaluate my thoughts, but yeah, off the cuff, like just going, I would have told you it was a Nimbus 1080.
But it feels maybe a little bit lighter than those shoes?
Yeah, maybe a little bit lighter.
Okay.
But the cushioning, like when I was on the treadmill, didn't I say to you, Meg, it might be too soft?
Yeah, you did. All but right. You said I would love it.
Yeah, I said, Meg, you'd love it. It's soft and cushy.
Yeah.
Robbie, now I need you to get it on.
I'll probably run it this week at some point, or at least for sure next week. So.
Yeah, I was going to just go ahead and do the video review because I've already got 28 miles on it. But I think I might have to wait till you try it because
we need a second opinion.
I got really cushy vibes off.
Yeah,
of it.
Hold up a little bit on that. Now, what was I gonna say about that? I forget. What's it say for the price on that? 180 or something?
Oh, 180.
Okay. So you and Jarrett ran up, and I mean, you guys are looking pretty good. You've been putting in some big long runs.
Yeah, I've been averaging now. I've got like 4 weeks over 60 miles. So I did one take back week when we did the the
Annapolis
half. That one kind of came back. And that when you were talking about your race and you felt pretty good the whole time, that was how I felt at the Annapolis half. And I was kind of like, I'm just going to run and not worry about the time.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be what it's going to be.
Right.
I think that works and doesn't work because there's part of it that I'm like, could you push a little harder? But it's also like how much, I don't know how much pain I want to be in.
And it's not particularly a goal race. So do you, what's the point?
Sort of. Yeah. It's kind of like, all right. Like I do feel like I want my mantra to be for Boston is like, this is one day.
Yeah.
One day out of my life that I have.
Yeah.
Just
like that.
Just do it today. Like just give it,
do it all.
Give it an honest effort.
Yeah. And I think even for me too, with the trail race, I knew I'm doing Boston in a few weeks. So I didn't want to go crazy, crazy hard.
I was wondering about that because I was like, okay, you kind of switched gears about 2 weeks ago where you were like, the hat 50K was your thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, I can run Boston and hat will be in it. Switch from hat being kind of like your goal race to Boston being your goal race.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder how hat's going to play out. Like we have Cherry Blossom, but we're supposed to jog the week before Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know how it is. You get get out there. And it's like, sure. Will I be able to just chill and be
especially
like,
in a 10-mile race, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
but it's like flat.
Yeah,
it'll probably
but
be a cool day.
Do you remember when we ran together that one time? You stopped and got beers and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that was a good.
So maybe if we all like, I don't know if Jarrett wants to. Yeah, Jarrett should want to run.
Not even as only a year ago. It seems like
was that a year ago?
Yeah, it's last year.
We ran together last year. Oh yeah, because Jarrett Butler was there.
Yeah, it's the only time I've run that race.
Oh, you're not though this year.
No.
Okay. Yeah, that's too bad because it'd be fun.
But
yeah, so maybe I'll try to get Jared to run it that way with me and we can goof off and do fun stuff.
Yeah, that'd be good.
They always have good crowd support there too and the crews come out.
Uh-huh.
So just like
taking
advantage of that is fun.
I don't think there's going to be any cherry blossoms left though. Cause
I was telling Thomas that. I was like, they're already bloomed. By the time we get down there.
They have been bloomed for a week.
Yeah, I mean, if that was the only reason I was going there, I'd be bummed. Yeah. I don't really care.
Yeah.
But it is, I do love running with Jared. I don't, while he is kind and stuff, I don't think I'm as fun to run with as you would be for him because you guys have more conversation.
Yeah, you don't talk that much.
Thomas goes to dead silent when you're running.
Yeah.
I mean, we managed to talk about some stuff.
You're a pretty shitty long run partner.
Yeah, there was one point where Jared's just like, we hit like mile 14 and he's like, I'm done with this run. And he ran 2 miles before because he wanted to be 22. And he's like, I think I'm just done with this run. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, and it is kind of weird because you get to 14, you know, oh, I've only got 6 left. And that's when we turn around and stop going uphill and start coming downhill. So I'm like, all right, let's go. And it was kind of like the last 6 miles were definitely.
Yeah.
A drag.
That's all right.
But I actually felt really good.
That's good. That's awesome. I mean, feeling that good coming up with Boston in a couple weeks will be 3 weeks. It's only 3 weeks, right?
Guess what my long run is this week?
Wild. What?
15.
Oh, nice. Is it kind of tapering down now?
Yeah.
He's starting me with it to taper down. He's going to keep the intensity of some of the workouts up.
Okay. By the way, I did want to shout out my coach, Greg. Treeline Endurance, who I'm working with through Training Peaks, because I feel so bad for him because of all the ups and downs and weirdness of my training, and he's rolled with all the punches, kept me going as best as I could, and still got in some good workouts and stuff, and I felt like that helped a lot for sure, like being prepared and especially for the hills and stuff. So still rolling with him till Boston, so that's cool.
Nice.
So I wanted to give him a shout out. And then I did want to mention, I feel like I have to mention the Barkley Marathons. I know everyone's covered.
Oh, yeah.
I know everyone's like, it's been world news or whatever, but I keep going back to the photos and video of her finishing, and I'm like, I don't know if I've, it's been a while since I felt like emotional about a runner, because we see so many things happening that I'm just like, eh, whatever.
There's a couple that stand out to me. I would say Sarah Hall at the London Marathon.
That was a good one.
When she outkicked the
yeah
other girl. And then Kipchoge breaking the two.
Yeah. For sure.
And then this one, like, it's kind of crazy. You think about how many minutes she's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it came down to seconds.
Well, she's out there for 58 hours.
Yeah. Right. And it came down.
She had a minute and a half or whatever left.
90.
And she doesn't have a GPS watch. So she doesn't, you don't know how far you, like, actually how far you are, because you don't know the distances really. And so to know, especially when you're awake for 60 hours. Wait a second.
Why wouldn't you have your GPS
watch? They don't let them use GPS. They just have
the race is insane.
They just have a Timex.
Yeah. No, but like her Strava.
I know that's a well. Your boy Scott Jurek, the Instagram account, they were like posted a thing about that. I was like not having it on your year end like metrics.
Did that? I do a manual upload.
Yeah.
He had one this week that was just delightful. The one that was the slides.
Okay. Yeah.
You didn't mention her name.
No, but they...
Jasmine Paris.
Yeah. She's a British runner who...
Has two kids.
Yeah, I think she's a veterinarian.
Yeah, she's a veterinarian, two kids.
I like they said she's a mum of two.
Mum.
M-U-M.
But she has some records.
A like, two-time mum.
I think she did the one mountain FKT.
Yeah, like she's a very talented athlete for sure.
Yeah, she's like, kind of like the Courtney DeWalter.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I want to see her and Courtney go at it.
I mean, Courtney, she had, and it was better conditions this year, but Courtney didn't make it past loop four. She timed out on loop four when she did it. So just to see that, and knowing that it's not just running, it's also orienteering. Yeah. You have to use your compass and everything.
People are like, that teaches Laz. I'm like, you don't think that Laz, tongue in cheek, is like throwing a challenge down?
Dude, he wanted her to, obviously, he said that to get someone fired up to do it. Anyways, but the photos, especially that Howie Stern took, that he's one of the best photographers out there. I was just like, you can feel it through the photo of what's happening.
Well, also because she was so expressive, like that was literally, she was done. Like that was all that was left in her.
It looked like her soul had just like, you could see it in the top right part of the picture, like leaving her body. Sure.
That'll do, babe.
Man, but... I mean, I don't know. That's just a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was a cool thing that happened.
All right, final check-in. And of course, we're going to stick with the Robbie theme. So Robbie went out there, handled the situation, and got a little weird with his nutrition. The salt probably wasn't the best idea. But let me tell you something. As you're training and trying to prepare for a race, finding out how much nutrition you need is really important. If you haven't listened to Feel for the Soul, you should check it out. And one thing I've learned is I used to take my gels or my nutrition every 5 miles. And then I thought about it and I was like, I think I can get more in and more calories if I take it every 4 miles. And I've been practicing the fueling for that and my stomach can handle it. And not only can it handle it, but having that extra energy is getting me through my runs. And even like when I'm finishing up a 20-mile run, I've taken 4 gels and I'm feeling pretty good. So the more that you can get in, the better you're going to feel. But you're going to need to play around and see what that is for you. And again, I probably would not recommend a tablespoon of salt in a glass of water. But that's just me. Seemed to work for Robbie. See you next week.
Anything else that we forgot to cover for this week?
I don't think so. Something. We'll have details on all of the Boston events coming up for you this week. So follow us on social if you don't.
But Friday night, you want to go down, run down?
No, I don't have details.
Okay.
Real quick, let me make sure I didn't have any poll results or anything that I had to share. I think I did from the last episode. Oh, I did ask the t-shirt collector thing. Mm. I was like, what level of t-shirt collector are you? 26% said they keep them forever. Only the favorites was 63%. And then there's some don't cares, which I don't care.
Who are those people? Are they the ones who have Life or Good shirts?
I think so.
Salt Life.
Salt Life, yeah.
Like there's some shirts that you probably do want to throw out.
Yeah.
Like if you bought a Salt Life shirt.
But you turn those into rags for cleaning.
Your car?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like especially if you're deader.
Yeah. Yeah, one of our friends, the friend, yeah, we talked about him that I ran with. He did not have such a great post-race and ended up
no bueno
vomiting all inside of his car on the way home. Like, I feel so bad for him.
I congratulate him. I said, hey, congrats, Detter, another 50K finish. He said, yeah, I don't think these are for me. I go, well, it's good to know yourself.
Yeah. I mean, he finished, and then he finished off his car's life as well. I think you just had to
burn
take
it
to the compactor.
Okay, yeah.
Just smash it. Dude, I've always wanted to just take an old car of mine and do the thing where you just charge people $5 a hit or whatever. Just like they do at the carnival where you can smash the car to pieces.
They bring an axe out there in a bag.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But with my own car. Maybe I should do that at a trail race. We should do a grit party. That where I bring my old car, my 2009 Mazda 3, and just have people smash it to pieces. Just
go ham on it.
Yeah. Would you do that?
Would I hit it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be
for
good.
$5.
Yeah, for a good fundraiser. Yeah.
But the problem is, if you get to the window first,
that's the one. That's what you got to do is the first swings, because you know it's going to be glass.
Yeah.
Those have got to be $20 swings.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. Like when I was a kid, my uncle on the farm just had a bunch of junk cars in the field because I don't even know why. They just, it's like if someone had a broken car, they would just say, drop it off here. And there's a ton of them. And that was before they reinforced the windows with plastic, you know? Mm-hmm. So we take our BB guns out there, and probably one of the best feelings in life is shooting a window with a BB gun and seeing it completely shatter to pieces. You know?
Or spider web.
Or yeah, spider web, the whole thing just,
so
you know what I'm talking about, because I know you
unfortunately do.
You've done worse stuff.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I do. That's a different podcast, though.
Yeah.
Because it's incriminating.
Yeah. I think the statute of limitations has expired on that.
I don't know.
Maybe not for people judging you.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean.
Slingshots, BB guns.
Oh, yeah. All those
22s.
I wouldn't even care if a kid just came around and just did that to my car. I'd almost be like, congratulations.
You'd be like, fine. Well, I would tell you, my kid is totally romanticizes growing up in the 80s. He's like, what was that like? He wants to hear stories about it.
Oh, man.
All that stuff. And he's like, I wish it was like that now.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, what's different?
Go give him a slingshot. Let him have at it in the neighborhood.
Dude, it's not even that. It's like,
I know, it's everything.
He had the freedom, like, we just didn't come home.
It's kind of cool.
Like at their age, I was a total free range kid. Like I was like, I'll be home when I'm home.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I think it's all right.
Oh. It's probably Meg's computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was no rules, no supervision.
I think there's a little bit of a push to bring that back. I know we talked about it before, but because it does give you that, and kids need that in a way, that independence and to learn what's cool, what's not.
What's also strange to me is how many people who are past the age of college who are okay living
at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't your first thing is like, I want to get out of here.
Dude, no, my parents too.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me. It was like all of us. Like, hey, you're gone.
I mean, I lived there because, I mean, I was touring a lot, so I wasn't home that much, but I wish my parents would have kicked me out. Yeah, it's like, get out of here. Figure it out.
Dude, at 16, my dad was like, you're on your own.
Yeah. Dude, I saw this preview for a horror movie that's coming out in May.
Is it called Beetlejuice?
No.
Oh.
But it's basically taking the Jason concept and instead of having to pay for the rights to Jason and everything, just making a like kind of a very related movie at a lake with a killer who's like in the woods in the 80s. And but it follows from over the shoulder perspective of the
killer. Blair Witch killer.
Not really. It's like following him, but it's like over the you see everything, not his point of view, but like right behind him, which is kind of a cool idea. But I was like, yes, bring back the 80s slashers. Make this.
I'm
like,
good not having that.
Yeah, Kimmy's like, don't. I was like, just watch the preview. Like, they're not going to show anything. She's like, I would never watch this preview. Yeah.
I'm with Kimmy.
But there's a
cool. I gotta go watch it now.
There's a cool studio making good horror movies. I think they're called Shudder. And
that's where Megan stayed.
What, Shudder? Oh, Shudder, yeah.
Shudder's on the beach, yeah.
That's right. But did you see there's another movie called Late Night with the Devil that's coming soon that looks really good?
Dude, I was so excited when I saw the Beetlejuice preview.
Oh, I didn't even see that. It's called In a Violent Nature. That's the Jason spinoff one. Apparently it got really good. It was at Sundance. It got really good reviews. But not that Megan's like, just stop talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never see that stuff.
Any movies that you are looking forward to make?
No. I haven't heard of anything coming out that sounds good.
All right.
Wait, did you know that Margot Robbie's coming out with a Sims movie?
Oh, really?
Like the Sims game she just
did.
To play?
She just did Barbie, and now she's going to do the Sims.
That like her... Like, that's her genre now?
I think so.
Interesting.
I think
I forgot that she was in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did like that movie.
That's a good movie.
I think as a female, I'm supposed to really like the Barbie movie, and I thought it was so weird.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. But you didn't like it?
I mean, no.
There's no way that it wasn't overblown.
It was laughable. A lot of it, I was like, what?
Okay.
I'm going to really upset people. I went and saw the Dune Part 2.
Uh-huh.
Special effects are really nice. There's some really cool stuff in it. They are destroying the story, and they totally are taking the whatever it is that's going on in society now, they're blending that into the movie. Like, this guy, read the original Dune.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't even know. Like, they turned him into a moody teenager with a moody girlfriend, and and he's no longer this person. Like,
so who was he in? I never read the Dune stuff.
So originally, to cut it to the short, Muad'Dib, Paul Atreides, was a product of genetic manipulation by this witches called the Bene Gesserit that are looking for the super being.
And this is why I didn't ever watch this or read these books.
Can I call in a trans? Can I use a lifeline to get a translator?
Like, I'm so out.
It's like, I bet it's cool if you know what's going on.
It's very cool if you know what's going on. And the original in the book, the kid is driven by the fact that his father is basically politically assassinated.
Okay. I like that. It's a good premise.
And so he's abandoned in the desert. He finds these people. He gets them all organized to take over the planet, basically. And he does it through one of the key things was this thing called a weirding module, which you could turn sound into violence.
Ooh, that's a cool concept.
They got rid of that all.
Really?
In the movie, they don't even, there's
Is that a key element in
It's a very key element because it's a step. First, they needed to use technology to do it. And then he learns to do it without technology.
Okay. So and that's all gone?
All gone in this movie. And
you're going to have to put like a spoiler alerts on this podcast episode. Yeah.
So in this movie, he's like, I don't know if I'm the same. Like, I'm not the Messiah. I am not the chosen one. This is all propaganda from the witches. They came and they planted the seed so that, it's like, and Zendaya, who is in the original movie, him and Shani, it's a love story.
Uh-huh.
They get together and they together basically conquer this planet and overthrow the emperor. Yeah. And
so are they independent of each other in this?
Well, she's all like moody. Like, she's angry at him most of the movie. Okay. Like,
oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. And like, there's not really love. And also in the movie, there's no man can drink this stuff. Only the women can drink it, and it takes them. But there's a place that the women can't go because only a man can go there.
Uh-huh. Okay, so there's like parallels to, yeah.
And so the sleeper must awake is the main character. Like, it unlocks this character. Mm-hmm. And in this movie, they're just like, oh, yeah, he drank. He kind of can now see the future. But it's not like...
Okay, not a huge...
It's not like a huge, oh, this is why they've been breeding women and keeping it from breeding a man, because the man would become... It, so it was really like, and I, so I showed, I thought I was just losing my mind, but I was like to my son, he was like, did you like the 80s version better or this version? Mm-hmm. And I saw it when I was the same age as my son.
Yeah.
So we put on, yesterday we watched the original movie.
Which, is that the David Lynch one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which one, no, yeah.
Yeah.
So that one kind of follows the book better to me than the current one. And one, it tells the entire first two movies of the current one in one movie.
Okay.
So you get the whole story in one movie.
Gotcha.
And my son watched it and he goes, okay, I see why you like this one better.
Yeah.
And I see, and you're, so, and the great thing is now he's reading the book.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's 12.
Oh, you know, it's like, yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah. I feel like that's the thing is, I don't know. I feel like when you put too many things, like try to put it through the lens of whatever's going on, it's just like, come on, like just.
It was a book.
Yeah. Like, stick to the story.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Write a different story.
It was a best-selling. Like yeah. It was like a hugely popular thing. It'll work. Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
There's two, I think.
Well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. That's our movie report.
Siskel and Ebert.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Yeah.
I feel like I was going to mention something else, probably completely ridiculous and unrelated to that, but. So it's, I won't get into it. I was going to ask more questions about Dune. I think we covered it.
You can ask me a question. I love Dune. <All right. laughs> That was my favorite.
All right.
I read all the books. I read, so his son wrote books after, his dad, Frank Herbert, wrote books.
Okay.
The first ones, the original Dune movies, or Dune books. And then when he passed away, he also had like transcripts and ideas and notes. Mm-hmm. So his son, Brian Herbert, took those and expanded the universe. Okay. And did like some prequel stuff. And,
gotcha.
Yeah. And it's like fascinating. And this is also a guy that in the 50s predicted that AI would be a problem for mankind.
Oh, wow. Well, he's right. It definitely will be.
So, and that's when they developed human computers.
I like it. Cool.
What do you think, babe? Man,
I haven't been listening for the past like 10
Oh, come on.
I have zero interest in this.
What was it? You were going to give something? What was it? Zero what?
You nailed it.
There's someone out there. There's plenty of people out there. Uh-huh. Yeah. Speaking of AI, I saw a version. We were talking about Oasis last week. I get all these Oasis reels, but there was a version of Don't Look Back in Anger where the AI had Liam singing it instead, and you cannot tell the difference.
That's so weird.
And he never sang the song. Like, it's just his, you know, simulated vocals in it. And I'm like, this sounds freaking awesome. And it's not even real.
Like, at what point, like, if you like Oasis.
Yeah.
At what point are you going to just, I'll make their next album myself? Well,
that's the thing. You really could, we're in the beginning stages of AI, so you could do that. And some of the, there are albums out there on YouTube that are like that, made up, completely made up. And they're pretty good. They're not bad. They're better than some of Oasis songs for sure. So I don't know. It's a weird time to be alive. Just need AI to replicate, to do my Strava results without all the.
Wouldn't it be the
red flags in it that are going to get the runner's world.
I was going to say, wouldn't you be upset? Oh, you mean by cutting the courses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't you be upset though if AI was like, this is where we think you should be.
Come on, dude. It's basically what my Chorus app says. And it's a version of AI.
Take a nap.
It's true.
My Chorus app, I'll bet you even right now, the dude's probably hunched over. Like he's always, you know how
it's
you
just
get the
heart rate based.
You know how you get that little guy? No, it's like recovery. Yeah, he's hunched over. Look,
is he? You're in the.
What it is? It's like a little dude with his hands on his knees, bent over, saying, "You are 10% recovered."
Mine's hands on the hips, so I'm fatigued, but I'm not.
Well, you took a completely day off, though.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I have the day off.
All right. Anyways, well, thanks for listening, people. Is there anything else we have to do? There's the Boston shakeout stuff coming up. You said we're going to be posting about that soon.
More I think details next week.
People are asking about the RSVP stuff.
Yeah, it'll be out there this week.
All right. And then, obviously, we're going to be at Broken Arrow in June. Should definitely sign up for that.
Yep.
And come out. And, yeah, good luck to everyone running. Spring race is coming up.
Yeah.
When's London?
London's the week after Boston. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else major coming?
Cherry Blossom.
Yeah.
I guess that's about it. Yeah. I can't think of what are other spring marathons?
There's a bunch. I don't know. If you're training and you're getting into taper weeks, good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, following along.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
And thanks to Carl for editing this up. Man behind the scenes, sometimes in front of the scenes, sometimes making a scene.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks, Carl.
All right. Bye.